The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The following articles are from BlackEnterprise.com. The first article is titled, Afrochella Festival Returns with WizKid at Made in Africa 2021. In honor of the 5th anniversary of Afrochella, WizKid is set to headline Culture Management Group's CMG Made in Africa Afrochella Festival 2021, taking place at El Walk Stadium in Accra, Ghana on December 28th. This widely supported one-day event celebrates the culture, creativity, and impact Africa has on the world. This year's Made in Africa pays homage to the continent while aiming to further the advancement and awareness of Africa's influence in music, art, fashion, and food. We believe that Made in Africa was the most fitting theme for this year's festival, the co-founder and CEO of Afrochella told Black Enterprise, Abdul Karim Abdullah. Through this narrative, we want to shine a light on the talent that can be found right here on the continent. Through this theme, we hope to continue to increase awareness of up-and-coming creatives and promote the advancement of Africa's homegrown talent. The next article is titled, Black-owned cannabis company Gumbo Brands aims to bring diversity and equity to the billion-dollar industry. The country has moved away from the criminalization of cannabis over the past several years, thus giving rise to a major new industry. Today, 19 states plus the District of Columbia have passed legislation to allow adult recreational use of cannabis, while 36 states and 4 territories allow for medical use, according to the National Council on Compensation Insurance. This increased legalization has put the marijuana market on track to hit $24 billion in the U.S. this year and $70.6 billion globally by 2028. On top of all that, the industry has ballooned throughout the COVID-19 crisis, making legal marijuana one of the fastest growing sectors in the nation, reports the Washington Post. However, despite growing excitement around cannabis, people of color make up only a small number of those profiting from this lucrative industry, even though the war on drugs has disproportionately hurt them. In 2017, just 4.3% of marijuana business owners in the U.S. were Black, while 81% were white, CNBC reports. One company that has managed to crack into the industry is Gumbo Brands, a Black-owned cannabis lifestyle and apparel brand at the intersection of counterculture, community, and wellness. The company was founded in 2018 by Kareem, quote-unquote, Luca Brazzi Butler, who made his mark in Harlem, New York, peddling CDs and other merchandise in the 80s and 90s, and then helping the popular rap group Dipset rise to stardom in the 2000s. Today, the New York native uses his connections and catch in hip-hop to promote Gumbo Brands. Gumbo is one of the best marijuana brands because we are more in tune with the culture. I've lived the life of the streets. I come from these places, so I see the impact it has on my community, Butler told AllHipHop.com. In addition to pushing the brand in New York's emerging cannabis market, Butler hopes to educate his community about the medicinal benefits of marijuana and steer them away from hard drugs. We are getting them off this lean and opioids, giving them some good pot. We don't want them to be leaned up, perked up, drinking fentanyl and popping pills. We want to lean them towards health. We are more towards the flower. We are using it as a tool to save the community, he said. Helping to build the company is Butler's fiance, Alexis Major, who operates as Gumbo's chief financial officer. The former sports manager and agent says her interest in the marijuana business started from her passion for helping NFL players. After working in retail as a buyer for 10 years, Major began managing her brother, NFL star Jordan Reed, who the Washington football team drafted in 2013. She also began managing other players and witnessed the harmful effects prescribed opioids were having on their bodies. What I noticed is a lot of players were becoming addicted to opiates. When you know you have athletes that play contact sports, especially gladiators such as football players, there's a lot of injury, she told Black Enterprise. In the NFL, because it is a business, they need to be able to mask a number of injuries so that they can be ready for another Sunday. As a result, Major says that the opioids that she saw her players take to numb pain led to addiction. They put them on morphine right before games. They have them take oxycodone, oxycontin. They have them take Percocet, every opioid you can think of. They have them take it so that they are numb for those games. There's no testing in the NFL for that, said Major. They are very addictive and they ruin people's lives, she continued, adding, I had to figure out how to get them off these drugs. Major noticed that the players would smoke marijuana recreationally, not knowing that cannabis could help soothe physical pain. I set out to find a strain that would help focus in on different injuries, and I was able to come across a couple of strains that actually really made pain in their body dormant. Major says the strain helped wean former NFL defensive tackle Dominique Easley off opioids. Today, the Super Bowl champion is an investor, entrepreneur, and mental health and wellness advocate for cannabis. Yet, even though marijuana was helping the NFL players she manages, Major says they face pricey fines and penalties from the league. The marijuana was 100% effective. The only problem was that the NFL marijuana is illegal and it costs the player anywhere from $400 to $1 million depending on what their contract is. That's how much they are fined for testing dirty for marijuana, said Major. Not only did we have to find marijuana to get them off these heavy drugs that they are able to do, then we had to figure out how to mask the marijuana for them not to test positive, she added. We are talking about cannabis. It doesn't help the enhancement of the player. It doesn't do anything to help them be better on the field, she said, but it helps save their lives. Seeing the life-saving benefits that cannabis had on NFL players, Major and Butler are now working to bring more diversity and inclusion to the industry. What Luca and I are doing is helping others and educating others about getting into the cannabis business, because the only way that we are going to be able to level the playing field is by helping everyone get some type of wealth. To help raise awareness about gumbo and the weed business, Butler and Major held a 2-day pop-up during Rolling Loud New York, a 3-day hip-hop concert in late October. Butler says the pop-up grossed $250,000 in merchandise sales. We wanted everyone to come out from our communities and come get a piece of gumbo, whether it be the sneaker, whether it be a t-shirt, whether it be a hoodie, said Major. We are here in the community and we are taking at-risk youth and teaching them about the cannabis industry. The interactive activation also included informative panel discussions about marijuana reform, the cannabis business, and hip-hop featuring New York City public advocate Jumaine Williams, Charisse Williams, the chief of staff of the Illinois Criminal Justice Information Authority, Rashad Lambert, ESVP and director, Culture and Community, Forbes, and founder, Forbes, the Culture, among others. We want to show that particular target market that you can learn something, and you can be as successful as the rappers you're watching on that stage, she said. We have to be the catalyst of that, because if kids don't see us and know our story, they don't think it's possible. In addition to educating and empowering people of color, Major stressed the importance of creating a blueprint in the industry to inspire young women. Putting my flag in the sand is very important, not just to me, but the little girls that look up to me that after this interview will see it and say, wow, I could do that, she said. That's what's important to me. The next article is titled, Detroit Entrepreneur, First Black Woman to Franchise a National Hair Salon. Dana White, CEO and founder of Parley Boyd, is the first black woman to franchise a national hair salon after successfully launching a campaign aimed at transcending the traditional salon experience. Parley Boyd, the namesake of White's maternal grandmother, is dedicated to catering to women with thick and curly hair in Detroit. The beauty salon model was created in 2012 as a solution to getting clients out in a timely manner while maintaining the quality of the hair and keeping costs low. In an interview with Forbes, White explained how she uses lean manufacturing, a tech principle inspired by the automotive industry, to maintain optimal data-driven results. The former international labor specialist takes pride in understanding the needs of modern women. Spending all day at a salon has been one of the biggest complaints from clients across the hair industry. We are very deliberate in the information and the data that we collect. We have used our lean manufacturing principles to design a space that allows it to run more efficiently, she said. From check-in to check-out, each station in the hair care process is carefully measured to stay ahead of any efficiency problems. Parley Boyd grew up in Camp Branch, Kentucky, where she became the first generation not to work as a domestic for the Gilberts, the same family that had employed and enslaved her family since 1821. Known in her community as someone everyone can talk to, her ear and her kitchen were always open, and it was said that you always left her home feeling better than when you entered it, White said on the salon's website. In paying homage to her grandmother, White is committed to embodying the feel-good experience at the salon. She added in another interview, I wanted to create a space that says you are enough and this place is for you. The next article is titled, Killer Mike and T.I. Take Next Steps Towards Reopening Historical Atlanta Eatery, Bankhead Seafood. Rappers Killer Mike and T.I. have officially requested all the necessary permits to begin work on the renovation of an Atlanta culinary and community staple, Bankhead Seafood. The two announced in 2019 that they would be partnering to resurrect the restaurant, which went under in 2018 after having been in business for 50 years, WSB reports. Both artists said that for them, this business venture represents yet another opportunity to invest in a historically black Atlanta neighborhood. But they each also have personal connections to the project. It's been a part of my life as long as I've been on Earth, says Mike. If you are writing a show or a book about Michael Rinder and his family, Bankhead Seafood would definitely be one of the characters. T.I. born Clifford Harris grew up not too far from the restaurant's location on Atlanta's west side. When Mike and T.I. purchased Bankhead Seafood, they acquired the restaurant's trademark name, its original location, as well as all of its recipes. Mike said that his aunt and grandmother's biscuit recipes and T.I.'s sweet potato pie may be added to the restaurant's offerings as well. The Atlanta natives kicked off their revitalization of the brand with an event in 2020, where they unveiled both their new Bankhead Seafood food truck, which has been in operation since April of last year, and plans for a two-story, 130-seat brick and mortar. According to Eater, the original plan was to open the restaurant in spring 2021, but that plan was derailed by COVID. A new opening date has not been announced. In addition to restoring the original Bankhead Seafood, Mike, T.I., and their partner, real estate developer Noel Khalil, have tapped restaurateur Delia Champion as a consultant to help them expand the brand to other physical sites. Champion is the founder of popular Atlanta brunch chain The Flying Biscuit. If Bankhead Seafood, which Miss Harden held onto for 50 years successfully on that same street, if we only stayed there, we have failed. It is our job to end up in other communities, Killer Mike said last year. Just like Waffle House and Chick-fil-A were born out of Atlanta, and we have seen other restaurants and businesses grow out of here, we can be the next one. We owe it to our community. Our goal is to become a national chain. The next article is titled, 9-year-old Beautiful Curly Me Black Doll Line CEO awarded $4,000 grant from Meta's Sheryl Sandberg. Zoe Olai, 9, the CEO of Beautiful Curly Me, shared the inspiration behind her black doll line in conversation with Meta's Chief Operating Officer, Sheryl Sandberg, on Monday. Beautiful Curly Me sells 18-inch dolls with curly or braided hair. The dolls, named Leela and Anika, are offered in different skin tones. The company also provides hair care and empowering books for young girls written by Zoe. Zoe received a $4,000 grant from Meta as part of its $100 million investment in black-owned small businesses. The Beautiful Curly Me CEO plans to launch a podcast and write more books in the future. Not only is she beautiful with her curly hair, but she's anatomically correct. This is a real girl, Sandberg said. You are helping girls feel good about their hair, their skin, and their bodies. That is so wonderfully important. Zoe's vision has helped empower hundreds of girls to love themselves. Through an initiative launched by Beautiful Curly Me, the company donates one doll to a girl in need for every doll purchased. To date, they have donated 733 dolls. It all started when I was 6 years old, and I did not like my hair, Zoe told Sandberg on Instagram Live. I wished my hair was straight like my classmates. Zoe said her mother, Ivana Olai, tried to make her feel better by buying her a black doll, but she didn't find any comfort because the doll's hair was straight and silky. So she told her mother she wanted to start a business, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution reported. I was taken aback, Ivana said during the interview. She was 6 years old. About 66% of the world has curly hair, Ivana said. We really want to go global with this brand. Zoe has huge dreams and aspirations. Zoe's advice to aspiring business owners is to get started. Done is better than perfect. A lot of people think it has to be the perfect time to start. But if you wait for that, you are going to wait forever, she said. The next article is titled Alpha Phi Alpha Brothers, Morehouse Alums, and Code House Founders Land $1 Million Grant from Google.org. Code House has landed a $1 million grant from Google.org. Money to help the nonprofit beef up its mission to battle the diversity gap in technology. According to a news release, the funding will enable Code House to expand its initiatives to students attending historically black colleges and universities, HBCUs in Washington, D.C. and North Carolina over the next 2 years. It also will allow the Atlanta-based Code House to further its reach and strengthen its mission to build a diverse tech workforce in the U.S. The organization will use the grant from the charitable arm of search engine giant Google to grow Code House Scholars Initiative, CHSI, its four-year mentorship and scholarship program. According to MSN, Morehouse College alumni and Alpha Phi Alpha Incorporated brothers Ernest Holmes and Tavis Thompson founded the nonprofit to encourage Black and Latinx students to pursue careers in STEM. Starting in March 2021, CHSI provides students with technical training, mentorship, scholarships, and internship opportunities as they matriculate, along with support from other leading tech companies, including PayPal, the program's founding partner, among others, Code House reports. Since Code House's founding, we have been able to reach thousands of students of color in the Atlanta area and equip them with the tools they need to successfully pursue careers in tech, stated Holmes, Code House's president and co-founder. With this grant from Google.org, we are able to take our efforts to the next level and impact the lives of thousands more. The new drive is perhaps timely in the STEM, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics space. While STEM fields are projected to experience the highest growth in job numbers between now and 2030, only 28% of the STEM workforce is female, and just 7% is Black, and 6% is Latinx/Hispanic. The STEM workforce has reportedly risen rapidly in recent decades, yet Black and Hispanic workers remain underrepresented in STEM jobs versus their share of the U.S. workforce. A new Pew Research Center analysis of U.S. government data shows. In a statement, Holmes added, as a Morehouse College graduate and current Google software engineer, securing this funding from Google.org means the world. Not only does this grant help Code House support even more HBCU students throughout their tech journeys, but it also reaffirms that my employer is committed to promoting diversity and inclusion in the industry. To find synergies like these between your personal and professional endeavors is truly what it is all about. The next article is titled Snap Inc. Rolls Out First Content Accelerator Program for Diverse Creators. Snap Inc. is making diversity, equity, and inclusion a top focus for diverse creators. The social media company is rolling out 523. Its first content accelerator program that will stick up for small minority-owned content companies and creatives. Those firms traditionally lack access or resources when it comes to competing with their larger rivals. Snap Inc. owns Snapchat, the popular instant messaging app. The voices of underrepresented groups have long helped shape mainstream culture, yet these creative minds often don't see the equitable benefits from their impact, said Star Nathan, 523 program manager at Snap Inc. per MSN. If you want to make a real change, you have to embed equity in the business. That's why we are designing tailored workshops, providing funding, and helping participants build sustainable businesses. The platform to help enlarge minority-owned content firms and creators is Snapchat's Discover. It is aimed to continue featuring inclusive premium shows, but with even more BIPOC and LGBTQ plus talent to play up underrepresented groups and cater to the company's diverse storytellers and audience. Pink News was a relatively small business when we began the process of joining Snapchat Discover in 2017, leading up to our launch on Discover in 2018, Benjamin Cohen, chief executive of Pink News, shared. We doubled our content team in order to be able to produce the volumes of vertical content needed, and this put a significant strain on the business. But being part of Snapchat Discover allowed our business to grow significantly, and even more importantly, has given many tens of millions of young people access to LGBT plus inclusive stories from the diverse communities that we seek to represent. Here's a look of what reportedly the program will offer. Funding and resources. $10,000 monthly to support the applicant's investment in concepting and filming content for Discover. One-to-one mentoring. Mentorship from Snap's content plus media partnerships. Team on how to best leverage the Snapchat platform to increase the applicant's engagement and business goals, partner education, intimate workshops that provide insight into the best practices to be successful with sessions from experts across Snapchat, including creative strategy, monetization, and more. Exposure and marketing. Inclusion in announcements and public events tied to 523 program. Participants will also have the chance to form connections with sponsors who are offering time and resources to the program. Sponsors include AT&T, Nissan, Target, State Farm, Unilever, Uber Eats, and McDonald's. Community engagement. The opportunity to connect with other companies within the 523 program and build a robust network through Snapchat. The deadline to submit applications here is February 1. 20 participants will be selected by March 1st. The next article is titled, Issa Rae Unites with Black-Owned Company on New Insecure Mobile Game. Expanding her media domain, entrepreneur and actress Issa Rae. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Avra Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.